Yeah, I'm off schedule already. I already screwed up the schedule I told you I was going to be on yesterday. I was supposed to get through this this emphasis during the Revelation series on the evangel, the gospel, the good news of the grace of God that I would love for any of you to grasp onto who haven't grasped onto it yet. There are people looking over your shoulder. There are people listening to this series who have never heard of such a thing before as a different gospel. How can there be two different gospels in the same Bible? And yet there is. And you've never heard of it before, possibly. So I have to get this out because time is short. And I'm talking time is short. Going to talk to you more about that. And I need to get this message out for people to grasp onto. It's a simple matter of believing in the death of Jesus Christ, which is the foundation of our evangel. But that's not as easy as it sounds. It's just a tad tricky. Don't get upset at me here, but in order to believe in the death of Christ, you have to throw out the Trinity. You have to, because the Trinity is an ingenious satanic teaching that Jesus Christ really did not die. It's diabolically clever in that Satan has managed to get millions and millions of people to think they believe Jesus Christ died when actually they don't believe anything of the kind. They believe that Jesus Christ is God. They think he's the Father. But that's ridiculous because Jesus Christ said he's the Son of God. I'm just taking him at his word. He's the Son of God. He says it was his joy to do the Father's will. That was his chief joy in life, to do what his Father wanted. He was a pure slave of his Father. And people try to correct his resume. They try to scold Jesus and say, no, Jesus, you're the Son of God, you're the Son of God. And Jesus says, please leave me alone. I know what I am. I'm the Son of God. Quit taking away my glory. They think they're trying to give him more glory by saying, no, you're God. And Jesus rolls his eyes at them. But he's a nice person, so he's not going to slap him upside the head. But he just wants to go, I'm trying to tell you, quit trying to do me a favor. I am not the God the Father. I am the Son of God the Father. I came out of God. I will return to my God and Father. He will give me the glory I had before the world was with him. And he's greater than I am. Read John chapter 17. It's just so obvious. Take him at his word. Oh, but no. We know better than him. No. We'll correct it. We'll correct his resume. No. You're God. Listen. And he just wants to, wants to do bodily harm to us. But he's too gentle and meek. He's the Lamb of God. He's not going to do that. But Satan, however, uses this tool of the Trinity introduced into humanity via the Council of Nicaea in the 4th century to derail almost everyone in the Christian world from believing in the truth that Jesus Christ died. They don't say they don't believe it. Nobody believes it. Nobody, hardly anybody, believes the truth. Oh, sure, Martin, they all say. I didn't say they didn't say it. I just said they didn't believe it. They believe that his body died. They believe Jesus Christ's body died. But he himself went to heaven for 3 days and consulted his watch and said to discern when the 3 days would be up. And then he went back into his body. So we're not saved by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. No, we're saved by the death and resurrection of his body, not by him. They don't believe he died. Well, his body died. That's not scriptural language. I'm sorry. Scripture says he died. Very detailed and accurate. And it's hugely important for anyone listening to my voice who still believes in the Trinity. Here's the ironic thing. Here's the, quote, funny, unquote, thing, is that they say that you can't be a Christian. You can't be a true believer, unless you believe in the Trinity. Do you know what the weird thing is? It's just the opposite. You can't be a true believer unless you let go of the Trinity, unless you deny the Trinity, because the Trinity is a huge, fat, hairy lie from Satan. It doesn't even make sense. Nobody can explain it, how 1 + 1 + 1 = 3, or how one person operates in three people. Nobody can explain it. And when you corner people who believe in it and ask them questions like, how can 1 + 1 + 1 = 3, they throw up their hands, they turn on a fog machine, which may consist of dry ice and fans, and they say, it's just a mystery. It's just a mystery. You just have to believe it. Bullcrap. It's not a mystery. It's stupidity. And it's obfuscation. And it's Satan himself blinding the apprehensions of the unbelieving so that the illumination of the glory of God, the truth of the glory of God in Christ, does not irradiate them, does not fill their heads. Jesus Christ said, "My glory is to do my Father's will." So let go of the Trinity. That doesn't belong to this message. Jesus Christ died. I think it's so ironic then at Christmas, I mean at Easter time, when these people say, "He is risen." I see signs like that at Christmas. I mean, why do I see it? Easter. All the church signs, "He is risen." They're all putting up their signs according to the same playbook. My question is he risen? But wait a minute. You said that he didn't die. Whenever I press you about the death of Christ, you tell me that, well, his body died. His body died. That thing made up of epidermis, bones, tendons, sinews, muscles, organs, that's what saves me? His body, not him? Because he didn't die. So how the heck could he be risen? He is risen. B.S. He can't be risen if he didn't die. So why don't you be consistent? I know I'm asking a lot. His body is risen. That's what you should say on your little Easter church signs. And Easter's coming up as I speak. Watch for it. Watch for it. Easter's coming up. This is a great time to talk about this. He is risen. That's hypocrisy because you don't believe he died. You believe he went to heaven, but his body died. His body died? How does a body die and not the person die? You have to believe in the immortality of the soul in order to believe that. And you know what the immortality of the soul is? It's a pagan belief of philosophy. It's a human wish because humans have a fear of death. Humans don't want to die because it's scary, because human beings want to be in control of their lives every single second. Some people don't even want to go on an airplane, on a jet, because they have to entrust their life to another person, namely the pilot. And so they're all nervous and shaky, and they have to order drinks just to take off because they don't trust the pilot. And you know what? These kinds of people, by extension, don't trust God. They don't trust God to give themselves over to at death. When you die, you're giving yourself over to God. That's exactly what Jesus Christ did. And this is what impresses me so much with the death of Jesus Christ. Not the death of his body, but the death of him. What impresses me so much about this is that he gave over his life to his Father, knowing this, that if his Father did not raise him from the dead, he would never have lived again. He would have been dead for eternity. Jesus Christ, the man, the Son of God, would still be dead today if his Father had not raised him. Folks, he did not raise himself. God roused Christ. God woke him up. Jesus said, of course, "Tear down this temple. I will raise it on the third day." But raising has to do with him getting up off that slab of the tomb to come forth from the tomb. But he did not wake himself up. He just got himself up. He swung his legs over on the slab in the tomb he was in, and he walked out of there. But God woke him up, because you can't wake yourself up if you're dead. You're dead. And Jesus Christ was dead as a rock. He was dead as a piece of ceramic pottery for 3 days. For 3 days, this is the message of Easter. Hello. For 3 days, Jesus Christ was dead as a rock, and he did not exist anywhere. So can you imagine the thrill when after 3 days he opens his eyes? Because, ladies and gentlemen, on the cross, we see the faith of Christ only. We only see the faith of Jesus Christ when we realize that to him death was real. Death was oblivion. Death would be non-existence for him. And that was a fear. And it's a fear that grips every human heart. And you either just throw yourself at the mercy of God, or you fight it. And you gravitate to a human philosophy that says you don't really die. That was the first lie of Satan, by the way, in the Garden of Eden. You shall not surely die. It was a lie. You shall not die. And humanity has grasped onto that ever since, and Satan has refined it into a teaching called the immortality of the soul. Whenever you hear that phrase, immortality of the soul, I want you to know this. It's a false teaching. It's a teaching of human philosophy as introduced to us by the Prince of Darkness himself through the agency of a human conclave known as the Nicene Council, who developed this crazy, stupid, satanic idea that God is three persons in one. The whole thing is it? No. There's no death. Don't worry. You have nothing to worry about. There's no death. You don't need to completely trust God. You're immortal. You will go on. Therefore, there's no real need for resurrection, is there? Because I'm not sure. This is just me, Martin Zender, but I don't see the thrill of resurrection. Can't wrap my head around the thrill of resurrection or even logically appreciate it if there's no death. Resurrection is some fiction of semantics. It's a nebulous nothing. It's a concept. If there's no such thing as death. But ladies and gentlemen, when I realized that death was real, OMG, it scared the crap out of me. This was the hardest truth I ever came to. The salvation of all was easy to come to compared to this, that the dead really do die and that they don't exist. That scared the crap out of me. Then I realized, OMG, comma, how great is resurrection, exclamation point. Because before, to me as a Catholic, resurrection was just like some kind of icing on the cake. When you die, you go to some halfway house, babies go to limbo, everybody else goes to purgatory. Purgatory. Oh, what's purgatory? Yeah, exactly. What's purgatory? Nobody knows what it is. It's some halfway house where you're hanging in some gray mist between death and life. You're not really dead. You're not really alive. The only way the Catholics invented this was to somehow explain how you can not die and still be resurrected in the future. How can you not die and still be resurrected? That's a conundrum. Yeah, that's a problem. You can't not die and still be resurrected. So they invented some misty gray thing called purgatory. Oh, what's purgatory? Nobody knows. And limbo for babies? It's just they invent all this kind of crap to cover their crappy doctrine. So they write a bad check to cover a bad check. How's that work? That works terribly. It works terribly. I don't believe Satan. I'd rather believe God. In the book of the Unveiling, the book we're ostensibly studying here, the phrase occurs, the dead do not live until the 1,000 years are finished. That's either Revelation 20 verse 5 or 10 verse 5. I don't know. Read the whole book. You'll find it. The dead do not live. God knows we're stupid, and so he has to reiterate it and say, the dead do not live. Get it? The dead do not live. Dead people don't live. And Jesus Christ did not live for 3 days. He was stone cold, dead, did not exist. So imagine the thrill. Well, first imagine the horror. I will present to you the horror before I present to you the thrill. Then I want to talk about free will for a little bit before this show ends. He's hanging on the cross. He knows he's going to die. Scary. Scary, 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 scary. Because there's a little bit of doubt in his mind because he's operating as a man. It's like, Father, this is the last thing he says. Into your hands, I commit my spirit. Humanity could not take his life. The Romans could not take his life. The Jews could not take his life. He laid down his own life, and that was a serious thing. It wasn't some hypothetical laying down of his life when he knew he was really not going to lay down anything. He was going to be whisked into heaven the second he, quote, died, unquote. And it was just his body that was going to lay on the slab, not him. Oh, no. He was going to be whisked away into the fairy tale star-studded realms of heaven where he was going to be instantly in his Father's arms. No worries. No, that was not what happened. Jesus Christ, knowing that death was oblivion, knew that he was going into a realm of non-existence. Scariest thing he ever faced, and it's the scariest thing any of us will ever face. And he trusted that God would raise him. He knew all the verses. Destroy this temple, I will raise it the third day. But God will rouse me. There's three different words for resurrection, by the way. Rouse, raise, and vivify. Rouse has to do with the soul. It's waking you up. You're roused from a nap. It was like, oh, where am I? Oh, thanks for waking me up. That's rouse. Raise concerns the body. Jesus Christ got his body up off the slab, but he didn't wake himself up. The dead cannot wake themselves up. And vivify has to do with the spirit. You get that? Resurrection, raising has to do with the body. Rousing, waking up, has to do with the soul, your perceptions, and vivification has to do with the spirit. So Jesus Christ on the cross, the dread and doom, a dread of death, everyone has it. It's a dread of death. We don't fear it anymore because we know that Christ is the resurrection and the life. So he lets go. He lets go. And he is in oblivion. And he would, as far as he knew, that was the end. But he trusted that God would raise him. He had faith in his Father. Not himself, in his Father. That was his glory. Don't take White out to his resume, trying to make him the be-all, end-all of life and death. He's not. Because he himself died, gave himself up to death. So I say this to present you with the sequel, the outcome of this. Imagine the thrill of him opening his eyes in the tomb. I submit to you that it took him a few moments to realize where the hell he was and what the hell had just happened. It was like going under anesthesia. You have absolutely no recollection of what's happened. When Peter says he went to visit the spirits in jail, that happened after he was roused. Read the context. Being roused, goes then and preaches to the spirits in jail. He wasn't doing that for the 3 days he was dead, because he was dead, unless you don't believe he was dead. But after this presentation of mine, you're going to believe it, because it's essential truth. Imagine the delight of his soul to blink those eyes, to look up at the roof of that tomb, to take a breath and to realize he did it. He promised me that he was going to raise me from the dead, and he delivered. And it takes you a while to come to your senses to realize what's happened. You look down at your hands. You feel, you remember he had Thomas probe his hands to feel the wound from the nail. I submit to you that he himself had to do that in the tomb. He reached down and put his finger through his own wound, and it all came back to him. It all came back to him. The last thing he remembered was, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. The last thing he remembered, the very next thing he remembered, was blinking his eyes in that tomb. He couldn't see anything, so he couldn't, I take that back, he couldn't look at the ceiling of the tomb. It was pitch dark in there. What he could do was reach down and feel the holes in his wrists. Oh my God. I was crucified 3 days ago. Now I remember, and I'm alive. And then the glory of God came upon him, and the tomb was illuminated, and a messenger came down to minister to him and to move that goddamn stone away from that tomb. And he walked out a victor over death. Over death. Not some pseudo-death, not some pretend death, but death itself. And only in this way could he be the conqueror of death. It's the only way, is he himself had to taste the death for all of us. And his resurrection, we're coming full circle here, his crucifixion is our crucifixion, his death is our death, but his resurrection is our resurrection. And because of his faith, and folks, there is no faith unless you realize death is real. There is no throwing yourself with rabid trust upon your Father unless you know that death is real. Death is the bringing back from oblivion. And it completely waters it down to say that death is really another form of life. No, it's not. It's the ultimate enemy. But Jesus Christ, our Savior, has defeated the ultimate enemy. And he's the firstborn of all creation. And because of his faith, not yours. Your faith is just like the caboose from the engine of his faith. He gives you the scraps left over from his faith. His faith is what saves you, not yours. Your faith makes you aware of what happened that day when he exercised his faith. We're saved by the faith of Christ, not by the faith of ourselves. This is a message of no confidence in the flesh. It is a message of all confidence in the one who delivered us from death and brings us to life immortal on a great future day of resurrection, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.